Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio. This is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and with me is one of the members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, Mr. Phil Emery. How are you tonight, Phil?
I'm presently accounted for, and very excited to be here. Although missing Michael, who's away and sick.
Yeah, Michael's not feeling well, so hope you get better, Mike, and see you next week for sure.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, please send in your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or feedback@songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit us at songtalk.ca to find out how you can be a guest. And of course, before we get to our guest tonight, a couple of housekeeping items. Once again, we'd like to invite our listeners to join us for our second annual songwriting challenge. This year, we're challenging ourselves to write a song where the chord progression never changes. So the three hosts of the show, myself, Mike, and Phil, we're each going to write a song for the challenge, and we're going to share our answers to this songwriting challenge on the January 26, 2021 episode. And so far, we've got a few replies in from listeners already sharing their songs where the chord progression never changes. And we're going to continue to receive those ones. And we're going to share the songs from our listeners on our February 16th episode. So again, please send your answer to the songwriting challenge. Just write and record a song where the chord progression doesn't change, and send your MP3 and your lyric sheet to feedback@songtalk.ca by February 9th. And we'll feature your song on the February 16th show.
Yeah, it might be a couple of shows, actually, because
depending on how many we get, it may in fact be a couple of shows, which will be fantastic.
How is your song coming along there, Neil?
I'm currently working on my holiday song, so I haven't touched the songwriting challenge. I have the idea, and I have sort of brainstormed some ideas in a document, but I haven't gone as far as actually writing, you know, anything that's effectively the song part of it. I've just sort of got some ideas down. How about you, Phil?
I have a couple of songs that I've been playing around with, trying to decide whether more chords would be worse than fewer chords, because sometimes fewer chords allows you to give a bit more sometimes can actually give you a bit more space for melodic variations. One thing I think I'm going to do, and the one song that I'm thinking of, I'm not sure if it's in a minor. I think it may be in either E minor or G minor, depending on how you're scoring it, I suppose. But is for the chorus, and if not the chorus, then probably the bridge, is I'll keep the chords the same but change the key. So if you're in C, of course, the relative minor of C would be A minor. Mm-hmm. So you could actually do an A minor melody on top of C chords. I believe that would work. So that's going to be kind of a fun sort of challenge. I mean, I've kind of done that accidentally. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a song and go, oh, wow, I've changed keys. What do you know? This will actually be a time when I'm going to actually try to do that. So if it's in minor, then maybe the chorus will be in major. That would be ideal. But at least, and if not, then the bridge, I think, will go to the relative minor or the relative major, depending on
as long as the chords are the same, like the it's really going to be, like, for me, the exercise is really going to be melody has to govern all the sort of changes, right? So like you say, if your melodic shape changes, if your melodic center sort of changes, as long as your chord doesn't, then
that works.
You can sort of negotiate it and make it work to make your chorus or your bridge pop out.
And I realized that I've actually done this already. There's a song with the Parkdale Hookers called Are You Lonely, where the verse and the chorus are basically the same chords. Basically, because I remember trying to go through an trying to change the chorus, and being really specific, you know, because I think the first started on a third of the chord, so I went, I think, into the sixth, or maybe tried to do the flat and seventh. Devo does that a lot. They their lead opening notes are very often like a flattened seventh or a seventh, or even like the like a semitone down from the root, two octaves up. And it's really cool. It's very hard to do because I've always loved his vocal style. I was trying to figure out how he did it. And so that's really good to sort of be conscious of where your first note is on your opening chord. It is the third, fifth, and a great way of actually pulling apart your favorite songs and figuring that out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I may have to do that exercise a few times and pull apart a few songs and just study them and see how they did it. Because this is something that's definitely going to put me out of my comfort zone, because I rely on chords a lot and chord changes a lot. And my chorus is always a different chord progression than my verse. So this is going to be a challenge for me for sure.
Sure. That's the advantage of starting off as a punk. He only knew like two chords, so
I suppose. You know. Right. And so. We had a fantastic song talk meetup just last night. Phil hosted the meetup, and what did you think of the meetup last night, Phil?
It was great. It's always really exciting, and it's such a positive and safe space. I got a letter actually in from one of the people who was at the meetup last night. And it's, you know, there's different things you can go to. There's like demo with a date with a demo, I think, something. They can be A&R people from labels. They can be very brutal and very honest, because this is their business. They need to listen to you. And they're going to say, listen, if you give this to a record company, they're going to say, look, you can't sing and the song's dull. You know, but this is a very safe space so that people can come in and bring in songs and they'll get like supportive feedback. And I thought that was great, and some great tunes as well. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. I mean, there's some great talent out there and some really inventive, interesting songs, because I can appreciate, you know, people going to like date with the demo or whatever, and chances are they're going to be very pop radio friendly driven. Mm-hmm. You're not going to show up there unless you've got a pop radio friendly thing that you think is potentially a hit, you know, but at our meetup, people bring all sorts of things that are unfinished, that are theatrical, that are genre mashing, like, beyond anything I've ever heard before. Like, it's really, really interesting stuff. And like you say, like the, you know, the environment is so supportive and encouraging that I think people feel safe to do that. And we would never say that song's never going to be on the radio. Too bad. Try again. Like, go back to the drawing board. We never say that. Like, we're always like, you know, you always got to understand where the songwriter was coming from and address it on that level, not on some arbitrary level of, you know, does it hit this datum line or these checkboxes that we've predetermined? No.
Yeah.
Look at it from the artist's perspective and see if they pulled off what they were trying to pull off and go from there.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone has to start somewhere. Yeah. And I think that's what's great. I wish something like this existed when I started off, because I think I'd be much further along than I am now.
Probably.
You know, but that's the great thing about songwriting, because you always, every time you do it, you go, okay, now I'm starting to get it. And then you go, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you go, it's just constant.
Yes, you're always learning. So
that's true. That's
an amazing thing about it.
And speaking of
moving on, our guest tonight is author Mark Cowley. Mark Cowley is a hit songwriter, best-selling author, in-demand speaker, songwriting coach, and popular blogger. As a songwriter, his songs have been on more than 16 million records to date, with cuts ranging from Tina Turner, Joe Cocker, Chaka Khan, and Diana Ross, to Winona Judd, Taylor Dane, Paul Carrack, The Spice Girls, and many more. Through his coaching service, idocoach.com, he has coached thousands of songwriters worldwide. His book, Song Journey, was released in April 2019 and went to number one in six categories on Amazon. Mark is a judge for the UK Songwriting Contest, Nashville Rising Star, Belmont University's Commercial Music Program, and West Coast Songwriter Events. He's also a contributing author to USA Songwriting, Intune Magazine, Songwriter Magazine, a sponsor for the Australian Songwriting Association, and a mentor for the Songwriting Academy UK. Mark joins us tonight from his home in Nashville, Tennessee, to talk about his second book, The Daily Song Journal. Welcome to Song Talk Radio, Mark.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show.
That's I can't believe you made it through that whole intro almost without breath.
Without taking a breath, yeah.
That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
You're a busy guy.
Yeah, you got a lot on your resume there.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I've spent the last week or so delving into your book, The Song Journey, and the thing that I wanted to ask you right off the bat was that it's kind of like we do on this show, like you're pulling everything songwriting wise out into the consciousness and making, you know, categorizing everything and sort of breaking it all apart into little discrete pieces, which is great for learning songwriting. Is that how you started as a songwriter? Were you kind of academic and kind of head driven, or did you write songs a lot of the time just from the heart like everyone else does and then that emerged later?
I gotta say, just by virtue of being ancient, you know, that sort of thing didn't exist. I mean, there really was nowhere to go for these books, these how-to videos. I just had to start. I played in garage bands, made a million mistakes, and, you know, one foot in front of the other. There really was nowhere to learn like there is now. So I would have to say, no, I did not learn like the way I'm teaching people now.
But I guess the question is, were you thinking about songwriting in an analytical way?
Probably what I did, you guys, when I was listening to your intro, you mentioned what I would call deconstruction. Like, and let's tear them apart, learn them, put them back together. That's probably as much as I did that's academic. I would learn a song and say, how did they do this? And that got into what I always think of my writer's DNA. It just got in there in the back of my mind, and you do it long enough, and all of a sudden those things you learned, you deconstructed, begin to make their way into your music, you know? And so it was much more of that, sort of, let's call it more organic than it was studying, because it just wasn't the material out there. I didn't know a single songwriter. Never met a songwriter, you know, until way later.
It was a very different world. I mean, it was just, there's so many resources. And I think there was resources out there, but I mean, if you didn't sort of know about them or you didn't read about them, you would just kind of go blindly along and stumble, you know?
It's a different time now. It's a great time to be able to like find so many resources and places to learn. It's really excellent.
I wanted to ask you about, because you've been teaching this for a long time, so you've been dealing with, you know, different students for a long time, over the decades. Has the process and the approach to songwriting changed in a significant way over the last, like, 5 to 10 years, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's constantly changing. The tools are changing, the expectations changing. The business, as you guys know, is always changing. The availability to be able to get in front of a publisher or a producer or an artist is very different than when I started. Publishing deals are totally different. So you have to go into it with most people I coach now. I really stress social media for them, things they can do on their own and that are free, especially. Those are available to you. None of that was available to me. But what was available is if you could get in front of a great publisher, for instance, they would nurture you. And that could be financially, every way in the world. They'd really nurture you as a writer. And record labels did it too. I was an artist to begin with. And you could sign to a label and they might put, you know, $250,000 in you and know that you may not succeed. Maybe it's going to take two.
Oh, Mark is frozen a bit.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you know, I have heard that actually of how, you know, companies back would actually give you 4 albums to get started.
Sure.
Sorry, Mark, you had dropped out there. You were saying about how labels would, you know, invest $250,000. I think you said.
Yeah, they would, you know, on a good day. I mean, they would, if they believed in you, they would figure you may not hit right off, but you will hit eventually, and they'll take that risk. And I think the risk factor for publishers and record labels is totally gone these days. I don't see that happening.
All the risk is on the artist now.
It is. I mean, and artists, some writers and some artists come into a label with their own financing and go, look, I've got this all together. All I need you to do is spread the word. Use your you know, power to get my record and everything all over the place. Totally different world.
So what about from a songwriting perspective? Like, you hear a lot of songwriting nowadays is like beat maker plus top liner, or written by committee, you know, plus Taylor Swift. You know, like, is that different than it was, you know,
of course, years ago? Of course. Yeah. When I started, you know, I didn't know anyone to co-write with. And when I first got a few cuts, a few things, you know, cut by artists, I'd wrote them on my own or maybe with a friend or another musician I knew. Until you got into the world of like publishing business, I didn't realize that publishers love to put you together with another published songwriter. Mm-hmm. So now two heads and two resources are better than one. The chances of your song getting cut get better. That has gone, you know, viral to the where you see eight people on a song. And one guy brought tea and one's a vibe master and one is a lyricist and one's, you know, it's gotten a little out of hand, right. But that's the world we're in, you know, and I don't rail against that ever. I think it's just where we are. You know?
So tell us about your latest book.
Yeah, thank you. It's called Song Journal, the Daily Song Journal. And, you know, the first book was about, it was sort of, anecdotal coaching. It was based on what I've learned from working with people and, you know, my journey, but also the way I coach and the things I think are good points for songwriters. But this one, the genesis of it was kind of funny. I didn't intend to write another book. And my wife and I do a lot of like morning reading, just like, you know, devotionals and stuff, things that take, you know, 15 minutes and they're inspirational or motivational. And it just dawned on me one morning about maybe 8 months ago, I thought, you know, I've never seen one for songwriters. I've seen journals. I've never seen one that raises a point or a good fact and says, go follow up on it and now write about your experience. And I thought, that's a pretty good idea. And you guys know sometimes from writing songs, sometimes you have a good idea and you think, oh, that's going to be a lot of work. And you're like, this is a curse. Mm-hmm. This one, I thought, I get fired up about ideas all the time. And this one was like, okay, it could be this, it could be that. And I thought, it could be, wow, you could do this for every day of the year, 365 of these. And wow, this hadn't existed. I love this. And I came across the idea of like saying, let's base it off the first one, which was Song Journey, and call it the Song Journal. And I thought, this is fun. It all got to be fun until it got to be like day 200. And it was like, wow, a lot of stuff to try to impart and follow up on. And
165 pieces of wisdom.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened. Honestly, I hit 200 and I started Googling journals. My wife was walking by me in the living room one day and I said, hey, look at this. This guy wrote a 200-day journal. Couldn't I do that? And she said, no, come on, you committed. And I was like,
And you've actually got an action part of this journal as well. So it's not just a pieces of wisdom and journaling, but you've actually got an actionable part of it, right?
Yeah, there'll be, and I'm happy to read a few for you, but basically what they, and I wanted to make them random, like morning readings are. I didn't want to go, this month is melody month, or this is music month, or this is whatever. They're totally random, and they deal with everything I think you need to deal with as a songwriter over the life of you. Research you have, not just, you know, the fact, not just writing the song. So they're random, but they also have an action to follow up. Like I may tell you about, or I may talk to you about doing something, and they may say, go here to watch a YouTube video that illustrates this or that expands this idea, and then write your thoughts that day. Tomorrow could be totally different in the journal, and it's usually.
It's a lot to come up with. 365 is a lot to come up with.
You know, it was COVID inspired. You know, we've talked about that when we first started talking tonight. Yeah, you got time on your hands. I can't do workshops. I canceled travel. We had a book tour behind the first book that was Germany, Austria, and Switzerland.
Oh, boy.
And we canceled all of it, canceled all of this work and workshops. And I really did sit down and think, what can I do? You know, I want to do something. So this kind of played right into it, and I enjoyed the work. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you read one of them if you have the book there, and just to kind of give us an idea of what it's like.
And when you guys asked me, I had to go do this.
Yes, of course.
So I tried to make them random, but I did want to grab a couple that I really like. So this is January 25th, and the journal is, the way it's laid out is January 25th is day 25, right? Mm-hmm. But you could pick this up in any time of the year.
Very
smart.
Yeah, April 23rd, I'm jumping to. That's day 113. So you could start in April if you want. January 25, know your flow. Ever feel like you're in the same, in a zone on a writing day? Recognizing this for what it is can be a beautiful thing for a songwriter. I brought it up in the Help Hurt list earlier in the journal, and it's a great tool for you to figure out how to get there. The important thing is not to break the flow. Those days when you're in a full of ideas, just stay on that path, because the smallest deviation can disrupt the flow, and it can be really hard to get it back. The action for that day is called Go, and it's list some of the things that keep you in the flow, as well as some of the things you do that break it. I mentioned a Help Hurt list, and that was in the first book. That's one of the best ideas I've ever seen, and it came out of a creative writing thing I read, not a songwriting thing. And it literally was take a legal pad, put a line down the middle, put a line up at the top to create a margin. On one side, write Help. On the other side, write Hurt. Every time you write, take a minute when you're finished and go, what helped me today or what hurt me? Mm-hmm. And it can be as simple as, you know, for me, I'll just take myself. When I first learned this, I thought, okay, I had a big breakfast and I kind of bogged down. It was not a good writing day for me. It seemed to be slow. Or I got right up, had coffee, didn't say hello to my kids or anybody, went right in the studio. Really good day. Or it could be, you know, I got on social media and I'm done. You know, I shouldn't have done that. The beauty is you learn, you know, what helped and what hurt, and you learn to recreate the help side and get rid of the hurt
smart.
Side.
Very so
you
good.
Set yourself up for a better writing day.
Absolutely. And it's really helpful to write that down, because we know these things, right, internally. We know what helps and what hurts, and we, you know, naturally tend to go towards the things that hurt more often than we like to admit. But, you know, but as soon as you write it down, then it becomes more real for you. Like, it becomes more concrete.
Exactly. It. And as you guys know, writing's hard. I mean, facing a blank page, I will find a way to look for the Yankee score. I'll look for a movie I could watch tonight.
I'll do laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything.
I'm doing laundry right now.
I could do laundry. I should shower.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think, even.
Yeah. I think this is a really neat idea, because I've said this on our podcast before, is that in terms of learning stuff, like Phil and I, for example, we have day jobs that we do. Like, we're songwriters and musicians sort of on the side, right? So you've got, and a lot of people we know are in that position. So you've got a limited amount of time you can spend in your studio at your piano with your guitar writing songs. And to a certain extent, you'd rather be doing than learning. You know, like, I don't want to take like a whole big long course on this stuff, or, you know, watch hours and hours worth of YouTube videos or anything like that. But if I have, you know, one little page and one little action to follow up on, that's kind of cool. Like, it's a neat little thing, and I go to it, and then I can get to my doing, you know.
That's what it was meant to do. And part of that, I have to acknowledge the fact that I coach enough people on the first book, I used them as a focus group. And again, on this one, I said, okay, first time, if I were to write a book, what would you like to see in a songwriting book? Most of them knew me, and they said, well, I'll talk about your experiences and stories and how that gets to learning tools. Second one, I said, what would you like to see here? And a lot of them went, you know, I have trouble reading a book. So that was eye-opening. And I said, so what would you like? And they went, well, if it were short and gave me something to do, and then tomorrow gave me something else to do that's I can look forward to, that'd be good. So that was another element of writing a book like this, of like not like what you just said, not having the time for most people who are, you know, not full-time writers. They don't have limited time and energy to do this. So give them something really good, I think, I hope, you know, for a day, and go to it.
Are you confronted, Mark, with people you mentor or students you have or anything like that, where they come into a session with you, or a first session with you at least, and believe that you can't analyze songs and you can't, you know, really, there's nothing to be studied. Like creativity can't be taught, that sort of thing. Like how pervasive is that belief, do you think?
Pretty pervasive. What I do with coaching is a separate sort of thing, but what I do is always try to have at least an email first. Mm-hmm. And the big question is, what's your expectation? And I can usually pick up on the fact someone goes, well, I get them from like what you just said, like, well, this can't be taught, but I'll give you a try. I've heard that. to one like, you know, I want to make $100,000 in Nashville as a signed writer in my first year, and I'm even willing to move there. I actually got an email that said that. I wrote back, me too, you know. yeah, there's some unrealistic expectations. And part of what I do with them coaching, I mean, there have been people I turn down to coach. I think this is just unrealistic. And, you know, your opinion is your opinion and God bless you, but I can't get you there. Hmm. And when I coach, I don't have a curriculum. So I really do talk to somebody somehow, email or a call. And go, okay, yeah, what your expectation is something we can work toward. That's good.
Do you mind if, just ask, it's an interesting thing to do the coaching. How long does a coaching session usually take with you?
An hour. But I'm passionate, so hour turns into, I don't know what, whatever it turns into, depending on the day. You know? But again, so no curriculum.
So it's like sort of like about a year, like do you spend like about a year with them, or is it just as long as...
It really depends on the client. I'll call them clients or songwriters. Mm. But I have some who have been with me now maybe 6 years. Mm. And they may start with a four-session thing, which is once a week for 4 weeks. And then it may drift to once every 2 weeks, once a month, then whenever you need me kind of thing.
Oh, pretty much like that. Interesting. And I am hearing the band come in, so I'm...
Yeah, afraid. I think the band wants to go home.
Goodness, we are out of time for this show. So it was great to have you on, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can our listeners find out more about you?
I have two websites. One is markcauley.com. That's a personal one, which is a lot of information. The other is idocoach.com, which is my coaching site. And either one of those will tell you a lot about what I'm up to or what you could expect in coaching and how to find the books and all that.
And the name of the book again is?
The Daily Song Journal.
The Daily Song Journal, and that's available at Amazon and all those.
It is, yeah. It's been doing well on Amazon so far.
Yep.
So.
And we'll certainly put it on our resources page on our website.
Right. Indeed. Hey guys, good to meet you and nice to spend time with you.
I hope you'll come back on the show again because you have a big brain and we'd like to pick it a bit more if you don't mind.
A big head. how much brain is in there, but thank you.
We'll take whatever we can get.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we want to hear from you, our listeners. So please send your comments on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to @SongTalkRadio or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. And also be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes. Now that we're all virtual, we're all in little boxes on YouTube. It's great fun. Subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services, such as the songwriting journey. And we mention on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca. And wherever you are in the world, please join us online via Zoom at our next monthly Song Talk meetup. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neilmodi.com. You can follow Phil
at philemery.ca.
And Mark, what's your favorite social media channel of choice?
Facebook.
Mark Cauley on Facebook. Perfect. Thanks for listening, everyone. And be sure to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Stay safe, everyone, and keep on writing.
Good night.